temple right here, and he wanted it actually built over the canal. It's a really big order. So then he said, and when you build this temple, you should make the walls out of glass with curtains, very strong glass. And we asked him, why do you want to make a glass? Isn't it, you know, then it'll expose the deities to anyone and everyone, because people would walk by this place, and hundreds of cars go by this place every hour, actually. So he said, well, I want people to see the deities. So he actually gave that instruction that everyone who drives by this place or walks by should be able to have darshan with the deities. So it was one of the ways in which Prabhupada startled us a little bit by saying, man manabhavi mabhavto, you can think of Krishna, you can see Krishna, you can see people offering obeisances to Krishna. And this was his desire, that just like in Times Square in New York, you know, you have this big multicolored sign made out of lights so that millions of people can see. Well, that's how he wanted the deities displayed, so anyone and everyone in any condition could have the opportunity to offer some respect or obeisances or have some feeling of reverence towards Krishna. And another instance, he asked Dhananjaya, this is in Rome in 1974, to make a little Gornitai deity, a set of one of Lord Chaitanya and one of Lord Nityananda. And you could put them in a box, he said, make them out of any material, could be clay, could be earth, could be cloth, and make them so that they're commercial in a box and sell them to people. And he said, if you advertise them, that this is a doll that'll give you anything you desire if you just offer incense to it every day. He said, even if you have to do that, then you should make these dolls so that they can go in everyone's home. And then there would be some explanation about who Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda was. Some devotees, I think, in Leicester, in England, are actually doing this and making them out of some metal material. Antardwi is his name. So the idea was that devotional service should begin anywhere. And in Prabhupada's temples in India, people come in with video cameras and take pictures and videos. In almost every other temple, not a Prabhupada temple in India, there's a big sign, no photography. As soon as you walk in, big sign, no photography. And sometimes if you try to take a picture, they try to confiscate, you know, the pujaris or the pandas who run the temple, they try to either get a big donation out of you or confiscate the film. Once we were in one of these temples, and a devotee who didn't really know anything about it, and there was a very small, I mean relatively small sign, only in one place, and he took a picture, not even of the deity, but of the top of the temple, and these priest sort of fellows grabbed him, you know, like this, and it was like that, and they kind of marched him up to the big hundi box where all the donations are put in. It's not a box, it's a big piece of cloth that hangs like a big duffel bag from the top, from the ceiling. It's about this big around and 5 or 6 feet long. And they were trying to force him to put his whole camera into the box. Because in this temple every day about 20,000 people come, and they put their gold and their diamonds and their rings and their brooches and their necklaces and their bracelets and you know, gold bars go in there and all kinds of money. It's just filled every day. It became so rich, this temple, that the funds became appropriator, went into kind of a receivership. The whole thing became government property. But anyway, they wanted the whole camera, not just the film, so we had to argue and finally just gave them the film. But in Prabhupada's temples, there's no signs. There was, actually, just in one temple, but they took it down because they realized that it wasn't what Prabhupada wanted. So he wanted everyone to see the deities, as many people as possible, to take pictures, to take videos, and not to worry that somebody might make money from selling them more than the temple could make money by selling its pictures. That was one of the rare gifts that Prabhupada gave, to make Krishna consciousness in its most intimate form very accessible. Another manifestation of that is the Rathyatra. Rathyatra depicts one of the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The gopis trying to draw Krishna from Kurukshetra back to Vrindavan to engage in the young pastimes of Radha and Krishna, conjugal pastimes. And that very pastime is enacted in dozens of cities throughout the world every year, even here in Washington, D.C. And it was the first time that it was ever done. In fact, in Puri itself, where the Jagannath deity is based, they still to this day generally won't let any Western people come in. In fact, they won't even let Hindus go in if they're affiliated with ISKCON, because there's Western people in ISKCON. They're very sectarian. Didn't they refuse you to go in once? Because he didn't know what his caste was. Or they asked him. Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, you actually thought you were Muslim.
Well, they thought you were a Muslim. Because he couldn't tell them what his caste was. Right?
No, I knew my caste. Gothra, I said it was Swami Narayan.
Oh, really? And they didn't accept you? They still were wearing neck beads? Maybe that's why. So, anyway. Yeah.
Maharaj, can I make a... Yeah. In the movie, what you were talking about, something that Srila Prabhupada said always amazed me. Back in the very early days of 26 Second Avenue, there were a lot of drunkards, and it was kind of a Bowery, and it wasn't a real good neighborhood. And Prabhupada used to tell, Rupanuga used to always tell me this, Prabhupada would say, just go to the drunkards and just explain to them that the face they're hankering after in the liquor is actually Krishna.
Yeah.
And they can actually become pure devotees if they realize every time they drink that this is Krishna's taste. So that's starting really well.
Yeah.
The one other incident, one time during the middle of one of Prabhupada's kirtans, this drunkard came in. He was kind of making a disturbance, and devotees were thinking maybe they should throw him out, and Prabhupada stopped him, and he brought a roll of toilet paper and just put it in the bathroom, and then he walked out, and Prabhupada commented that just that simple act of bringing some toilet paper, that his Krishna consciousness had just begun.
Yeah.
And one other incident that also amazed me, when Prabhupada was here in Washington, D.C., it was the 4th of July, and it was the bicentennial, so there was a lot of people. And we did this caravan from the temple down to the Lincoln Memorial, and then Prabhupada sat and watched the fireworks. But as we were going down, there was bumper-to-bumper traffic. And people were just pulling their cars off on the side of the road, and there was this, so we had a procession with kirtans going, it was pretty loud, and this couple were drinking Budweiser beer, and they started raising their hands and holding the beer and just kind of sort of mocking the devotees, but not really.
So drunk that when he thinks he walked in the door, everybody knew that he just made the whole room smell like a liquor factory. He was that drunk and he was staggering, afraid to shut it. And he started fooling around doing the kirtan, and nobody knew what to do, so everyone was watching Prabhupada. You know. He was just looking up this man's spine. He was standing right in front of the altar where Prabhupada was sitting. It's like a little... He was sitting in a raised seat, and there was a little lectern in front of him. So this went on for maybe 15 minutes, and he was just twirling, and as he was twirling, he was staggering. He could barely stand up, and at any moment, he looked like he was going to fall over. And then at the end, when everyone bowed down, he just fell over backwards. So he was laying on his back, spread eagle, like that. But because Prabhupada didn't make any move to do anything, but he should be, you know, he didn't go like that to make it look like he should be thrown out. Everyone just tolerated it. And then the next time, I think it was the next day, when he came in with the toilet paper, his hair was combed and his coat was buttoned, and you know, and his pants that were all doubled up down at the bottom because they were too long were kind of pulled up, and he looked like, you know, he wasn't staggering, didn't smell like whiskey or wine or whatever it was. But he had his hand in his coat like this, inside, like pictures you see of Napoleon. And so we were still scared, you know, maybe he, you know, had a gun or a knife in there. He just walked right up to Prabhupada, just doom, like that. And there was no kirtan. It was during a lecture or something. It was quiet. And everyone was just ready to spring if he was going to pull a gun or a knife out, because, you know, those were the kind of people who used to come into that place sometimes. And that's when he just pulled out this wad of toilet paper. And he just kind of plunked it down on the podium there, on the lectern. And Prabhupada all the time he was smiling, and he just acknowledged it. And then he said something about his devotional service has just begun, and they installed it in the bathroom. And he just, you know, got up and walked out like a well-behaved boy, good boy. It was amazing. And the Prabhupada didn't... It's almost like he knew what was going to happen. Didn't sense any danger. So, want to have some more kirtan?
Sure.
Why don't you chant with your... They sang a Nepali, Kirtan Nepali. They sang the Kirtan Nepali song. It's not standard, it's standard, but they made it a different thing. Why don't you just think for a minute, it's so hard. So they're shy to sing.